Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs, chapter 8. I'd like to begin in verse 22, and Lord willing, go to the end of this chapter. I asked Brother Neil to read that passage that he read, because this passage of Scripture deals specifically with what he just read. Believers are creatures of time. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Time. We relate our physical existence to time. We run everything by time. We're regenerated in time. We're taught in time. We assemble here according to time. God keeps us in time. But concerning Him who is the I Am, He who is the High and Lofty One, He who, the Scripture says, inhabits eternity, He is eternal, the eternal God. He has everlastingly known us, we who are His people. He has everlastingly known us in love and affection. He's everlastingly been our surety. And we come to know that in time. We come to perceive it, to see something of it in time. But the passage today deals with Him who is the glorious Savior, husband, prophet, priest, king. This passage is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ before He was actually made flesh. Before He actually took upon Himself, partook of flesh and blood. He's always been. This is a great mystery. The only begotten Son of God, the eternal generated Son, God Himself, who in that eternal covenant of grace, in agreement, in the redemption of God's people, there was always a lamb. This is what He says. He speaks. This is the one which Brother Neil read a few minutes ago, the one that said, "Let us create man in our image, and the very image of God, the very one of who we see and hear. Some looked on Him. We see Him by faith. But He is the image of the invisible God." He's the one who said, "Let us make man." Remember, I want you to grab hold of what that word "make" means now. Let us consider. Let us consider man in our image. Let us consider all men in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some considered vessels of honor, some considered vessels of dishonor. Let us make man in our image. So created he them. But that word make there means consider. Almighty God considered some before the foundation of the world. Chose them in Christ. Put them in Christ. Some were ordained vessels of wrath. What shall we say to these things? I tell you what a believer says to them. Lord, as you say, things are, they are. You are God. There's none beside you. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking. And we're not here to try to explain the depths of these words. I cannot set forth with explanation with a finite mind that which is infinite. I mean, there's just some things that you can't perceive. But we're here to be thankful for the privilege that we've got this morning to consider He who is the sovereign God, He who is God over all. This is the God that we worship. And this is what He says about Himself. Verse 22. He says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Jehovah. Jehovah. Father, Son, and Spirit. God Almighty possessed me in the beginning of His way. Obviously, meaning the beginning, what Brother Neil just read. In the beginning. In the beginning of creation. As we've said before, there is no beginning of eternity. The I Am is. There's no start of Him who is eternal. So what is the beginning? He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He before He was made flesh, before the Word Himself, the Logos of God, before the Word of God, who is a person, was made flesh, the Scripture says concerning Himself, "The Lord possessed me." I was in unity. That's what the word possessed me. I was in unity with the Father in the beginning, in the commencement of the creation of all that was created. I was there. Before the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Before God Almighty created the heavens and the earth, before the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, did according to the Father's good pleasure, before He who created all things did so, He said, "Jehovah possessed me." Every purpose of divine counsel, when all things were decided, which is everlasting, loved you with an everlasting love. When everything was actually done. Oh, how deep are these things that we speak of this morning. Before the beginning, I was in unity with Him. In eternal agreement to be the surety of God's elect, betrothed everlastingly, always the bridegroom, always having a bride, always looking upon her in favor, never a time that He didn't answer for her. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. I was anointed. That's what He said. I was anointed. He was set up, first of all, as the King over His people. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. I was set up. Anointed. Psalm 2:6 says, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. In time, we've come to know that He's the King. In time, it's been revealed to us by the Spirit of God that He rules. He rules and reigns. Does as He will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. Nobody stays His hand. Nobody questions Him. He's the King. How long has He been the King? He's always been the King. In time, He offered Himself for His people. But He's always been the great high priest. He's always been the Lamb. Let me show you something. Turn to Hebrews 2:17. Hebrews 2:17. This is speaking of the great high priest. Hebrews 2:17 says this, wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. How long has He been the great high priest? Slain from the foundation of the world. How long? I was set up from the beginning. The priest, Aaron was a priest. He was a high priest. Aaron was a high priest. Moses was a prophet, an apostle. Now you consider him who is the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Aaron would come in and as the priest, he would take a lamb and he would sacrifice a lamb upon the altar. Look over. Turn to Hebrews 13:10. We just read that He's the high priest. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a high priest. We know that He is the sacrifice. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 10. Let me tell you what else He is. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. He's the altar too. He's the altar. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. No man ever laid a hammer. No man ever took a chisel and did anything in the construction of this altar. Remember how the Lord would tell him in the Old Testament, you build an altar. You take the rocks just the way they come out of the ground. You build an altar. Don't you put your hand. Don't you try to shape anything. Don't you try to make anything fit more perfectly as far as you can. You build this altar exactly the way the rocks come out of the ground. We have an altar. Prophet. He's our priest, king. Set up. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the prophet. He was set up, back in Proverbs 8, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Everything that Brother Neil just read, first day, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day, God rested. The Lord says, when there was no depths, I was set up. No fountains, no mountains, no hills, no earth. Before the actual acts of creation, when there was nothing that was framed or planned in the eternal counsel of God for God to actually create it and bring it into being, I was born forth. I was brought forth. I was eternally generated by the Father. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with Him. He's always been well pleased with Him. Always been there. Look at Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Lord, You've always been. Oh, I tell you, here we would do well to just stop and adore. Lord, when all of this was brought into being, You are. All these, you know, when all of the things that You created, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, He said He ever possessed me. Verse 27, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, and when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he set that compass before the earth, it was void. It had no form to it. It was just... Lord, when You set the circle of providence, and when You said, this is the way it's going to be, grass is going to come forth, cattle is going to be there, and it's going to be a sun, it's going to be a moon, this is how it's going to be, the seasons are going to be this way, and it's going to be just this long, and the earth is going to go through its cycles, and it's going to be night and day, and winter, summer, spring, fall. Just Lord, when you set the circle of Your providence, I was there. When You established the bounds of the earth and the sea, and You said to the sea, this is how far you can come, and you don't come any farther than this. Verse 29, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth. You know the amazing thing. While we behold the presence of our blessed Lord and our Bridegroom and our God, our King, our priest, God's prophet. We notice that he said when he said to this earth, this is where you will go. This is how you will act. This is you rest assured. This winter is going to be over if God tarries and the Lord doesn't come, return. This winter is going to be over. Now you just write that down. It's going to get hot again, and do you know that this earth perfectly obeys God? I want you to consider the indescribable mercy of God to His elect in Christ concerning the obedience of this earth to obey God and how merciful He has been to us who are so disobedient. Everything falls into place, but man, how disrespectful we are. His voice not heard. Here we are in an unregenerated state. He calls us out of darkness, removes a heart of stone. I looked that up again the other day. He removed it. He said, I will remove a heart of stone. Behead it. Take away its total domination. Total. I'll give you a heart of flesh. It kind of, in my little mind, I began to think of a young tyrant. It's all for himself. He rules in this kingdom. All for himself. No regard for anyone else. All for me. What I want, what I desire, when I want it, how I want it. This is what I want, and I don't care. Let them eat cake. Someone comes out and just strips him from his total domination, but still allows him to be in the court. Doesn't have the total domination that he once had, but he's still got the same attitude. He's held in check, so he can't totally destroy. But God Almighty sets up another. And this one that at one time was totally in control, he harasses the new one. The one that's got some honor to him. In my mind, I kind of try to think about this. Paul says to will is present with me, but how to accomplish? I see in me that old man that wars, strives against me. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's a battle that's going on. A battle that rages every day. And I'm telling you, I'm working on a message right now, and it's concerning obedience. And, I'm telling you, convicting to this sinner, saved by the grace of God. Sometimes we begin to think sometimes that, well, you know what, I mean, we really don't have a whole lot of leeway here because, you know, we're saved by the grace of God and kept by the power of God. And we just have this old nature. Really can't do anything. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that there's not a demand for obedience, we can go back and read the book of Jonah if you'd like to. You might read that. I'm telling you, God is a jealous God, and He deals with His people in absolute righteousness. And I'm telling you, we would do well to consider our obligation. I mean, we are what we are by the grace of God, believe me. God is long-suffering to us, and He deals with us as children. I remember when my kids were growing up, buddy, I'm telling you, I would not spank you for a mistake, but you disobey me, and I'm telling you, this is the way it's going to be. We're going to the bedroom. God deals with us as children. Well, He says in verse 29, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Before the sacred Godhead went forth, before the Lord Jesus took union with humanity, the glorious Bridegroom Himself, I was daily His delight. Here was the Bridegroom Himself. This was the one that the Father said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Gave him a bride. I've thought on that. Thought, Lord, but that You would say that it was not good that the man Christ Jesus, should be alone. That He would have a bride given to Him because the Father said it's not good that you should be alone. For me to even say, can that be, is disrespectful. God said it is. It's not good for a man to be without the woman. Adam had a rib taken out of him, and God made a woman out of that rib. That's just a picture. That's just a type. She was bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. She came out of me. We came out of Him. Eternally chosen in Him. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. The glory of God in electing grace. That the Father, who delighted in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. That was His area in which He would manifest His delight, in the habitable part of the earth. The grand theater of the exhibition of His goodness and mercy and grace and compassion, where that would be exhibited in the habitable part of the earth. God was pleased to give the man a bride. And the Lord Jesus says in the latter part of that 31st verse, and my delights were with the sons of men. Daily, moment by moment, in eternity, there where there's no time. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ set forth that his enjoyment, his delights were with mankind. God so loved the order of man. God so loved the world. Wonder of wonder that he would be delighted with men. Long to be with them. Made like unto them. That he would solace his heart. When he says, my delights, that he would solace his heart with me. And how lightly we think of that. He who right now is here and hears us. Song of Solomon 4:9, thou hast ravished my heart, stolen my heart. I looked that word up again this week. Thou hast ravished my heart. Here was one of the definitions that I had missed before. To make the heart beat faster. You made my heart flutter. What he said. My delights were with the sons of men. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Imagine the wonder of that truth. Knowing the depth of man's fall and his redemption, salvation, and the Lord Jesus Christ making her to be what he says she is, that he might present her to himself, a spotless bride, no blemish, robed in his righteousness, ever his delight, and to spend eternity with her that he has eternally loved. That he eternally viewed. That he eternally set his affection, stood for. Came to this earth for her redemption and suffered the death of the cross. Forsaken of God for her so that she would not be forsaken. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Oh, the need that we have to be encouraged to hear Him. Isn't that something? I mean, we read these words and you think, oh, I tell you what, man, that's the best message I've ever heard in my life. You mean to tell me that Almighty God has everlastingly loved me, and in the fall that He knew I'd fall and provided redemption for me before I was ever created, and provided the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world because His delights were with the sons of men, that He everlastingly loved those that had yet to be born in time, and He came into this world and redeemed and. And here this frail, dying creature is actually going to spend eternity, and I will sit with Him on His throne and forever be in His presence, and will forever look upon God Himself, and will hear His voice and ever be His delight and His pleasure. And I've got to be reminded to hear Him. Yeah. Hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Isn't it sad that we would refuse it? Truly, O wretched man that I am. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. These last few verses deals with a heart of diligence and truly longs to hear. Blessed is the man that heareth me, because he's been given eyes to hear. Ears to hear. That's a blessed man. That's a blessed woman. If he's made his voice to be heard by you or me today, what a blessing. Blessed are those that watch at his gates daily. Turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, just a few pages forward in your Bible. Song of Solomon 3, 1 to 4. This is blessed are those that wait daily at his gates, at the post of his doors, that are anxious to hear. You know, men, women that have been made anxious to hear, want to hear. That's a sign of regeneration. They want to hear. By night on my bed, Song of Solomon 3, 1, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Those, he said, that seek me, he said, you'll find me. Just to have a heart that would want to hear, want to see, want to behold. Finding him by faith, by the revelation of God's Spirit, he said, I'm life. You find me, you found life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, but listen as we close. He that sins against me, he wrongs his own soul. You're doing this against yourself. All they that hate me will not come to me. You love death. Isn't that a hard revelation? But it's the truth. If you hear his voice, come. Come. You desire him, come. You desire him, he's given your heart to desire him. If you hear his voice, how do you know you hear his voice? I'll tell you how. You'll walk away from anything that you ever trusted in that you thought justified you before God. And you'll come to Christ, who is salvation. There's none other. Salvation's of the Lord. You'll forsake everything else for him. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Gary, would you